Welcome to NucleCast, the official podcast of the Anwa Deterrence Center. Our host is Dr. Adam Lowther, co-founder and vice president for research at the National Institute for Deterrence Studies. The Anwa Deterrence Center is a 501c3 organization ensuring a broader understanding of the nation's strategic nuclear deterrent and its ongoing modernization. Thank you for listening and welcome to the show. The views of the host and the guests are their own.
Welcome back to another exciting episode of NucleCast. Of course, I am your host, Adam Lowther, and today we are taking a different approach than normal to NucleCast. And I'm bringing in Lyndall Lucy, who is, you know, Lyndall listens to NucleCast, and he has, we've corresponded a number of times. And he shared some of his own work. He's has an article that recently was published in Taiwan. He's a recent graduate of the Harvard Extension Program's Nuclear Certificate Program, and he teaches high school. He's a history teacher at a high school in Hawaii, and it's been a pleasure to interact with Lyndall over the last, I don't know, 6 months or so. And so I thought we would have him on NucleCast so that we could talk about, you know, what interests people beyond those of us who have spent a career in the nuclear enterprise, which is most of you, the listeners, but for somebody who is outside it and develops that interest, what leads to that interest? And then, you know, I'm curious why, you know, why did Lyndall say, hey, you know what, I'm actually really interested in this and I want to start writing. And I want to get, you know, I want to go through the Harvard certificate program and I want to do all of these things. And so that's why we've got Lyndall on. So Lyndall, welcome to NucleCast.
Thanks for asking me to join.
So you're a recent graduate of the Harvard Extension Program certificate, their certificate program. Tell me a little bit about that and we'll start there. And sort of like what got you interested? Because for most Americans, there's really not that much interest in nuclear. And not only did you say, "Hey, I'm really interested in this, but I'm going to pursue more education specifically in it." And then now you're writing articles on, you know, should Taiwan get its own nuclear arsenal? Should it develop that? So what led you from I've got a day job to where you are now?
So I'm in Hawaii now, but for most of the past 10 or 15 years, I've been living around Asia. And so I'm familiar with the political situation there, with what's going on in Taiwan and China and Hong Kong. So in 2020, China passed a national security law. They imposed it on Hong Kong. Was personal to me because I lived there and I had friends there and I've kind of watched what's happened. And it made me worry about whether Taiwan could be next. And so I started to take an interest in Taiwan, especially. And because I have this background of having lived in Asia for so long and familiar with the situation, I felt like I should speak up because, following the news and it didn't seem like many people were speaking up. And so because no one was saying things that I thought should be said, I decided I'm going to say something. And so I started writing about Taiwan's situation, which is a mess. but so I've written several articles about like Taiwan's diplomatic situation, like how to me it seems like unjust that they're not recognized, and I think they should be recognized. So I've written articles about this, about I believe the U.S. should diplomatically recognize Taiwan, have formal diplomatic relations. But, you know, when I've written articles like this, I've always gotten pushback. And people always say, no, U.S. cannot do that because China will invade if the U.S. Recognizes Taiwan. So to me, it seems like the right thing to do, the moral thing to do is that we should treat Taiwan as a country because it is. And I have friends there and actually I feel so sorry to them about how badly they're treated and their country is treated. And I just think it's wrong how we treat them. And so the right thing to do is to treat them as equals. But because of China's coercion, everyone says, no, you cannot do that. And so it's like China has coerced us into compromising on our moral values. And so to address this concern, these people who say, oh, you cannot treat Taiwan as an equal. You cannot treat them right because China will invade. Well, then how do we solve the problem of China invading? So I thought, okay, we'll give Taiwan nukes, right? Taiwan has nukes. We'll establish diplomatic relations. They can declare independence, formal independence. They can change their constitution. They can change their country's name. They can do whatever they want. China's not going to invade. So that's how I got interested in nuclear weapons, because I think we cannot have our, like, we cannot stand by our morals when we're terrified of Chinese threats. And so you have to stand up to Chinese threats. And one way to do that is through nuclear deterrence. So I entered this Harvard graduate certificate program on nuclear deterrence. I was already studying international relations there. They have a master's degree program. So I was in the international relations. They have these, they call them stackable certificates. And so nuclear deterrence is one of them. So I was going to graduate this year and finish my master's degree, but I decided I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to graduate yet. I'm going to take an extra year and I'm going to get this nuclear deterrence certificate. And then I'll finish next year.
Yeah.
This course, or so this certificate program is, it consists of four courses. So there's three of them are required and one is an elective. So the three required ones is history of the Cold War, nuclear weapons and international security, and like evolution of deterrence theory. Yeah. I finished those three required courses this past year. Actually, I haven't gotten my certificate yet. I'm still waiting for it to process, but I've finished the courses, gotten my grades, everything.
And so for you, or do you now feel equipped to go out and think and write and discuss this in a way that you wouldn't have before? Or are there other things that are sort of you're looking to educate yourself on nuclear issues? Was the certificate program enough? Are there other things? Are you, you know, or do you see yourself as still with a lot to learn, or and is that interest still there to understand and grow and on nuclear issues, or are you kind of satiated now that you know what you need to know?
No, so I probably did more studying outside of class than I did in class. Like I've read so many books on this stuff. Like I did probably twice as much stuff outside of class that wasn't required, that was required in class, because I'm just interested in the subject. So I've got a long list of books that I'm planning to read. I think there's a lot to learn. And I don't feel like I'm an expert. I feel like I know more than most people, but I don't feel anywhere close to being like an expert on this subject. And I think no one is, because, right, we haven't used nukes since Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
Well, let me ask you this then. So take our listening audience, and our audience is mostly military officers, employees at the NNSA, folks that work across the nuclear enterprise. And, you know, they sort of do this as their job, and they're, you know, they know quite a bit, but there's a lot of Americans out there who don't show much particular interest in nukes. They sort of know, well, Russia's bad, Russia's threatened their use, China's bad, China has a bunch of them too, therefore we need them. If you were to give advice to me, you know, I've left government and I now work for a think tank that tries to help educate and inform Americans about the utility of nuclear weapons and deterrence. So what would you tell me? What would you tell the audience who, you know, perhaps has an aunt in Des Moines, or, you know, maybe a friend in New York City, or, you know, parents in California or wherever they may be, who doesn't particularly understand or care about nukes? How would you tell us to engage these folks and to get them interested and to, you know, make them want to learn more and you know, they may not pursue the course that you have. You've sort of gone all in. But for those who know very little, how do we get them to engage and want to know, you know, enough?
So like I said, my personal interest is like Asia, cause I've lived there a long time. And so like, if I were Taiwanese, I think you have to think about this. You have no choice. And like if you were South Korean, you have to think about this. You have no choice. Now the United States, is committed to, or claims it's committed to defending Taiwan. And it has a formal treaty alliance with like South Korea and a bunch of other countries in Asia. Now, if we want to avoid war, I personally believe that nuclear deterrence is going to be required to prevent war, and particularly in Taiwan, because it is the most vulnerable of all the countries in Asia. So if the U.S. doesn't want to get dragged into another war, some people, so in the classes I was taking at Harvard, I had many, many, many discussions with my classmates about Ukraine and Taiwan. And some of them would say, oh, if we go into Taiwan, it's going to be another Vietnam. and so if you don't want another Vietnam, it's pretty important that we deter war to begin with. Yeah, we should prevent war to begin with. And so right now, I don't believe that China is deterred. Like, if not deterred enough, because they are building up a massive nuclear arsenal, and they're going to use that to try to intimidate us to not help Taiwan, and they're going to try to intimidate the Taiwanese into giving up. And so as they build more nukes, they're going to get more and more bold, and eventually they're just going to go for it because they're not afraid. They don't think that they're going to suffer consequences that are costly enough to change their cost-benefit analysis. Because if they invade Taiwan, Taiwan doesn't have nukes. Like, Taiwan basically like throw rocks at them is basically what it's going to be like. And then we're not going to use our nukes against China because it's not in our interest to.
The conclusion that you have reached as somebody who's, you know, lived in the area, who cares about the people, and who's been studying and understanding the dynamics, is that Taiwan, in your view, really is at the point where it has no other option but to pursue its own independent nuclear arsenal.
Right now, I think, the only alternative is that the U.S. puts its own nukes in Taiwan. Let's say we reestablish our mutual defense treaty and we go all in, like we put bases there, we put nukes there. But, you know, I've had this debate with my classmates, and often what they'll say is that this will cause an Asian-Cuban missile crisis. we will just replay Cuban missile crisis all over, and it's going to be very nerve-wracking and unpredictable in how it will end.
This episode of NucleCast is brought to you by the Anwa Deterrence Center, whose mission is to educate Americans about the nuclear enterprise and strategic deterrence. Yeah, you know, it's funny. There's this old saying, you know, that analogies are useful, but they're always wrong. And so I guess the analogies that sometimes people can draw to Taiwan, you know, whether it's Cuba or Vietnam, or, you know, the analogies may be useful, but they're inevitably wrong. And so you've just come back from Taiwan. And when you were there, what was the mood? Because they've just had an election. They've got a new president. What was the mood of the people? And you know, with this recent election, China is ramping up its coercive actions towards Taiwan. And surely the Taiwanese people, I mean, you were there, you talked to them. The Taiwanese people understand that the day is coming when Taiwan will, or when China will use force against them unless they concede. And for the first time, I mean, this is one of the myths that I think China has perpetuated and too many people believe, is that Taiwan used to be part of China. And in reality, it really has no history of being an integrated part of China. And so tell me, what is the mood of the people?
So I've traveled there, I think, four times in the past year and a half or so. So there was one time when I was there, I think it was the winter before last. I was in Penghu, these islands in the Taiwan Strait, and it was around Christmas time. And while I was there, there was a record number of Chinese warplanes that crossed the Taiwan's air defense identification zone. And I thought that there would be more things happening, but I didn't see anything. I didn't hear anything. Everyone acted totally normal. And I would not have known this if I had not looked at the news. So my impression is that the Taiwanese people are pretty relaxed. They don't take China's threats seriously. But I think one of the reasons is because they just feel there's nothing they can do. They're helpless because trying to
defend
go against China is pointless. It's totally pointless. However, if they had nukes, maybe they wouldn't feel so helpless. But right now, it's just like, it's like they feel like it's not in their hands. It's like, U.S. is going to help us or not, and you know.
So is there you know, I've seen some of the stories that have, you know, come out here in the U.S. and there does seem to be a desire to defend Taiwan, and you know, internally, and then of course the U.S. is planning to defend Taiwan. You know, there were some stories about, you know, Taiwanese civilians who were taking marksmanship training and they're becoming part of militias and, you know, all sorts of things like that. There's discussions of, you know, can we or the Taiwanese disable the chip manufacturing facilities and the equipment that is in Taiwan, because we don't want the Chinese to get it, because it would give, you know, a distinct technical advantage to the Chinese, that, you know, all these TSMC plants that are producing, you know, the world's greatest chips. And so I wonder, do you see sort of as you've been over the last few years, have you seen any levels of preparation or preparedness that are going up, or does nothing seem to change in the minds of the Taiwanese? Because there's more weaponry, and you know, there's, you know, thousands of American troops training the Taiwanese military right now. There's, you know, advanced weapons flowing to Taiwan from the U.S. Are you seeing sort of any change in mindset?
I mean, I haven't spent enough time there to say for sure. My impression is that no, but yeah. I don't think I'm qualified to give an answer to this. Yeah, so but when you... I would say that Taiwan's a diverse society, and there's people that take the threat seriously. There's people that don't. There's people that would surrender as soon as Chinese troops put their boots on the ground. There's people that would fight to the end. So it's mixed.
Is there a perception that Taiwanese, because this is one of the big questions I've had, because like you, I've written some articles suggesting that the solution is a Taiwanese nuclear arsenal. And the biggest question I have about the feasibility of that option is, I wonder, could Taiwan build that, you know, develop the warhead, build the bombs without China knowing? Or is Taiwan so sort of penetrated by, you know, PRC spies and supporters, that it would be impossible for Taiwan to undertake such an endeavor?
You know, I don't have any secret information. You probably know more about this than I do, but I've been studying history. And so, I've read about spies infiltrating like our programs, like the Manhattan Project. I mean, there's always spies that get in and learn stuff. So I don't think that spies are necessarily an insurmountable problem. Like, there must be a way. Like, you get really smart people to address this problem. Think really hard. You can figure out ways that there's nothing China could do, even if they knew. Like, maybe you bury the facility so deep that they're not going to touch them, even if they know they're there. I don't know. Maybe, you know, if there's a friendly country out there that would like to help Taiwan, that might make the problem much more solvable.
Yeah, put the program somewhere outside of Taiwan.
Perhaps.
You know, let me ask you this. You know, this sort of leads to another question, and that's this, you know, notion that the Taiwanese have nuclear energy, and they're moving away from nuclear energy. They're talking about shutting down their reactors, and, you know, that's sort of the opposite of what you would want to do if you want to build a nuclear weapons program. Can you talk a little bit about, you know, what's the thinking in terms of getting rid of nuclear energy and, you know, the implications of that?
Actually, I wanted to ask you this. So I think the history is that the ruling DPP, basically when the party was founded, they were like an anti-nuclear party, anti-nuclear energy. And then I think this, this sentiment comes from all these accidents that have happened in the past, particularly recently the Fukushima disaster. So Taiwan is earthquake prone.
Yeah.
And they fear that there's going to be an earthquake that's going to break one of these nuclear reactors. And they, like, that would be devastating for Taiwan if it got serious. So there's a lot of people that have genuine fears about nuclear energy. That's why a lot of people want to get rid of it. I think a lot of it's politically motivated, or, you know, how, like, masks were, politicized in the U.S. I feel nuclear energy is politicized in Taiwan. So it's a way of, identifying yourself with a political party. And so if you're pro independence, then you have to be anti-nuclear energy, 'cause that's part of the identity. I think it's irrational. Because actually, I shared with you. So when I was last in Taiwan, I met one of my friends who is an administrator on a Taiwan Independence Facebook page that has a massive following. It's like 170,000 people follow it. And so I told him I was studying nuclear weapons, and I wanted to write an article about Taiwan acquiring nuclear weapons. So he volunteered. He just said, okay, you know what? I can run a survey on my Facebook page and just see what all of my Taiwanese followers think about whether Taiwan should develop nuclear weapons. And so he ran a survey, and I think it was like 800 or 900 people responded. And I think the results was 93% of the respondents supported Taiwan acquiring its own nuclear weapons. 93%. And what's ironic is that all the people that follow this page, they're anti-nuclear energy. So the people who are pro-independence, you know, they care very much about sovereignty, and nuclear weapons are essential to protect Taiwan's sovereignty. At the same time, nuclear energy they perceive as a threat because of the possibility of an earthquake making a disaster. And so you know, recently there's been discussion in Taiwan about, so the DPP has this policy called the Nuclear Free Homeland Policy. And so they're closing all of their nuclear power plants. And the last ones are supposed to be shut down next year. So there's this discussion, should they continue with the planned closing of these plants? And one of the concerns is that Taiwan is so dependent on imported energy, that if they close these plants, they're going to become even more dependent on imported energy. And so they're going to be more vulnerable to a blockade. So if you want to protect Taiwan from a blockade so that they can survive longer without having to import energy, nuclear energy is one way to, I guess, survive a blockade. And so the question is, should they keep nuclear energy to protect themselves from a blockade? But I would also, like you were just saying, should they keep nuclear energy because it could be useful if they want to develop nuclear weapons? So I think the obvious answer is yes, it would be more useful. So the real question is, could they still get nuclear weapons without those nuclear power plants? I'm guessing they could, but this is not my expertise, especially if there was another country willing to help them, they could still get nukes, but I don't know if anyone's willing to help them because everyone's too afraid of China.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe maybe Kim Jong-un is, willing to share with the Taiwanese without the Chinese knowing about it. Who knows?
I was thinking that the Indians and the Israelis might be the best option because they're not party to the non-proliferation treaty.
Yeah, true.
And India doesn't have a good relationship with China.
And that's a great point.
India has an interest in containing China and an interest in making sure that Taiwan does not fall to China. So I would say, if I were Taiwan, if the U.S. won't help Taiwan, I would say, if any Taiwanese people listen to this, go ask India. Get help from India.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. It's a really good point because it's, as I talk to you, I work with the South Koreans quite a bit, and the South Koreans have said, Adam, we're just like the Israelis. If you look at us, we live in a very unfriendly neighborhood. We're surrounded by more powerful and larger countries that are, most often hostile to us. So we're essentially Israelis. We're the Israelis of Asia. And you should be helping us the way you help the Israelis. And so that's sort of kind of the crux of the argument I've heard. And in many respects, that the argument is sort of similar for Taiwan, and they're even smaller and they're even in a more difficult position than the South Koreans are. Mm. And so I wonder if, the South Koreans have, the Taiwanese have ever gone to the Israelis and said, "Hey, we're just like you. Can you help us out?"
I want to get your opinion on something related to this. So if Taiwan went to the U.S. and just said, we're building nuclear weapons, we don't care what you think. You can either help us, and if you're not going to help us, please just stay out of our way. How would the U.S. respond to that? Would they say, we'll support you, we'll look the other way, or are they going to try to undermine it? Will they, I don't know, put sanctions on Taiwan to try to coerce them into not doing it? Would they try to sabotage their facilities?
I would submit to you that they would, I had this discussion with the South Koreans not too long ago, and they said, what we think you'll do is we think you'll do to us what you did to the Pakistanis, where, you had sanctions for a couple of years. You made a show of punishing Pakistan, and then you removed it all and relations went back to normal. And the South Koreans said, we think that's probably what you'll do to us. It might hurt for a couple years, but then, we'll have nuclear weapons. And I wonder if something similar could be the case if we were to, talk about Taiwan, because the U.S. knows how difficult the Taiwanese position is.
So I want to bring it up. So I was reading a book outside of my classes, one by Vipin Narang.
Yeah, Vipin Narang. Yeah.
I forgot the name of the book, but he does a study of how have countries attempted to acquire nuclear weapons and which strategy is the most successful for acquiring nuclear weapons. And so he just looks at every single case that there is. And he finds that the most, I think, one of the most successful strategies for a country like Taiwan is what he calls sheltered pursuit. And that's the strategy, I guess, that Taiwan and Pakistan used. So the idea is that they will build – so if sheltered pursuit is you build your nukes, but you have the protection of a superpower, particularly the U.S. So I think I think maybe he argues North Korea was sheltered by China, and then Pakistan and Israel were sheltered by the U.S. So if he actually – in this conclusion of his book, he actually mentions that this is a perhaps a viable strategy for Taiwan. If U.S. was at least willing to look the other way, then they might succeed. So the problem is, can the U.S. deter China while Taiwan is doing this? Even if China knows what Taiwan's doing, will they back off if they believe the U.S. is actually going to defend them?
That's a key question, because I'm pretty confident that if China knew that Taiwan were developing nuclear weapons, they would probably go, you know, they would attack Taiwan, you know, within weeks or months. I don't think they would let that development go. But, you know, who knows how that might go. Now, unfortunately, we're getting close to the end of the show, and I don't want to deny you the opportunity that every other guest gets on NucleCast. Of course, that is, I'm bringing out Bob the Genie. And so as I rub my magic lamp and Bob grants three wishes to all guests, now your wishes cannot be, you know, health, wealth, or fame, but they have to be related to the topics we've been discussing. So, Lindell, what is your first wish?
Yeah, I knew you were going to ask this, so I prepared for it. So I made all of my wishes things that could actually happen. If someone's listening out there, I'm making suggestions. Someone go out and do this.
Sure. Okay.
So wish number one is I want someone to conduct public opinion polling on the following topics. In Taiwan, I want someone to ask the public, do a public opinion survey on whether the public in Taiwan supports its acquisition of nuclear weapons. There's been so many polls on this in Korea, but I don't think there's any in Taiwan. So there's like this informal one that my friend did on the Facebook, but there's not like any like proper like scientific public polling on this topic. I think it needs to be done. I wish someone out there will go and do it so we know what the Taiwanese people think. And in America, I would also suggest that someone do public opinion polling on whether Americans would support Taiwan having nuclear weapons if they believed it would reduce the risk of the U.S. having to fight a nuclear war with China.
Yeah.
So that's my wish number one.
Sure.
So someone out there, please go do this public opinion polling so we know what's going on in people's minds. My second wish is that at the U.S. presidential debate next month on CNN, June 27th, I wish the moderators will ask Joe Biden and Donald Trump about the issues we've been talking about.
Yeah.
Would they order the U.S. military to intervene if China invaded Taiwan and threatened to use nukes like Russia has threatened to do in Ukraine? How will you respond to Chinese nuclear threats if they go for Taiwan?
Yeah.
Will you let China have it, or are we going to stand up to them? And then following on that, if they're not going to defend Taiwan, would they be okay with Taiwan getting its own nukes?
Yeah.
Because if we're not going to defend them, at least let them defend themselves. Because like we're giving them a death sentence if we don't let them go this route.
Sure. Okay. All right.
Okay.
Good number two.
Number three. Adam, this is for you. I wish you to bring some Taiwanese guests onto this program.
Okay. All right.
And I want you to pick their brain and ask what they think about Taiwan getting nuclear weapons. Is it a good idea? Is it a bad idea? Why or why not? And I know there's going to be a diversity of opinion in Taiwan, just like there is in the U.S. So maybe you can get more than one guest, or maybe you can bring them onto the NIDS view and get people with two opposing opinions to debate this. And if I could pick one person that you could bring on this program,
sure,
it would be former Foreign Minister Joseph Wu. He is now the current head of the National Security Council. So I think he will not come on. But if he will come on, Joseph Wu, please come on to this program.
All right. Well, it's a wish. So obviously, it's going to happen. So, you know, Bob the Genie grants all wishes. So thanks. Those are good wishes. You know, those are well-prepared, reasonable wishes. So it's awesome that you sort of thought that through. So now, if you were, so as we end the show, if you were to give any advice to our listeners who were trying to get, I mean, your interest was in having lived in Hong Kong and in Asia and seeing what was going on with China and saying, hey, wait a second, I don't want this to happen, you know, to my friends and to those of us in Taiwan and elsewhere. But for those, for Americans who are just living their lives in Iowa or California or wherever else they might be, what would you tell somebody like me who works this and does this for a profession and it's sort of second nature, or any of our other listeners? What would you tell us? How do we get people interested? How do we get them involved?
Well, you'd have to convince them that there's actually a real threat that if we don't, if you're, I guess there's a threat of war, and that you have to convince them that nuclear deterrence is necessary to avoid war. So people don't care unless they think it affects them personally. And so the problem is you got to convince people that it matters. Now, I think it's easier to convince people in Taiwan and South Korea, but honestly, it's harder to do this in America, because America is just so protected. We're protected by the oceans. We don't have any major threats in our hemisphere. So it's a challenge. But I would say if we're really going to defend like Taiwan, then it's in our interest to not have to go to war with China. My guess is that so Biden says that U.S. troops will defend Taiwan, but I kind of don't believe him. but if we were going to defend Taiwan, it's better that we don't have to do it. And deterring China and nuclear deterrence, deterring China with nukes, I think that's the best way to avoid us having to answer this question of whether we're actually going to defend Taiwan.
All right. Linda Lucy, thanks for joining us on this episode of NucleCast.
You're welcome. Thanks for inviting me.
And thanks to you, the listeners, for joining us. And we hope you'll join us on the next episode.
This has been a production of the ANWA Deterrence Center, a 501c3 that seeks to educate key decision makers, stakeholders, and the public to ensure a broader understanding of the nation's strategic nuclear deterrent. Our executive producer is Kimberly Charrington, and this episode has been engineered and mixed by David Krunkel. Help us grow our followers by sharing it, and follow the show on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter at NucleCast.